Hello and welcome to our podcast. We're calling it The Hunch because we believe you get the best ideas from people when they're relaxed, when they're with friends. And rather than giving you the corporate line, they give you their best guess, their gut feeling, their hunch. I'm Mark Schmid, and in each episode, I'll be talking to someone who can give us the lowdown on something that will transform their sector, our society, or even our everyday lives. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Hunch. We've got two very special guests today, Paul Jeffries and his daughter Grace. And they're here to tell us about Reach Next Generation, which helps young people, specifically girls between the ages of 11 and 15, to be the very best they can be. And Grace is certainly the youngest participant we've had on The Hunch, coming in at just 14 and a half years old. When you're that age, I think every half a year is important. When you get to Paul and my age, we probably don't count it in quite the same way. But we're delighted to have Paul and Grace on the show. Hello, both.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Really well, thanks. Great to have you both here. We'll get straight into it because we're really interested about what you guys have been doing for the last few years. It probably seems a lot longer for you, particularly Grace, but really interesting to know what inspired you to create Reach Next Generation.
We wanted to create the summit in order to just bring all these girls together and to create a community. We wanted them to build connections with like some of the speakers that we've brought together, because that's so helpful, especially in your later career, or even if you want to ask some questions about what career path you wanted to go into. We also wanted to make personal connections ourselves to these girls so that we could remember them and we would know specifically who we have impacted.
Yeah, and it came out of a conversation that Grace and I had just before she went into secondary school about the world, what it looks like, what we would like it to look like, and also some of the challenges and issues that girls of that age have to deal with, you know, every day around what they wear, what they eat, what they say, what they watch. And it seemed that this was a common thread through all girls of this kind of early teenage year group, irrespective of kind of background. A lot of these girls all face the same challenges. Mm. So out of that was born the idea of creating some sort of event that would bring them together so that they could hear from people who sound like them and look like them about how they got to where they've got to today.
Mm. And it seems like you're covering a lot of ground there, guys. So if someone stops you in the street and says, hey, what is Reach Next Generation? What's your answer?
I'd honestly just say like a movement that just helps as many young girls as possible to feel as confident in themselves as possible in kind of all areas. You said that we cover so many topics, and we really do, because we cover, you know, politics, or maybe if they want to go into that, what their politics are. We've brought in lots of different MPs to speak to them, talk about that. We cover health and sports, and also just their careers in general, what they want to do, and if they're maybe slightly uneasy about that, how we can help them. So honestly, it's just confidence in themselves and confidence in what they're going to do and what who they want to be.
Yeah, and I saw that it's nearly 1,000 girls now have been through summits with you all since 2021. I mean, what would they typically gain from attending?
Well, I think the education system, as we know, is under a lot of stress. Teachers are under a lot of pressure around some social issues that a lot of girls from particularly challenging backgrounds have. So I don't think that necessarily they're made aware of all the opportunities that are out there for them post GCSE. So what the summit does is to show them that there's a world of opportunity on their doorstep, and that even if you're not great at maths, as per the former prime minister's dictate, there's still hope, there's still a future, and you can be who you want to be. So it's really just to explore with them maybe some of the areas that they hadn't thought about, excuse me, especially when they have to make a decision about what they're going to do after GCSE.
And clearly there's been some progress made in gender equality in the work place. I say some. But what barriers to success are women and girls faced with today when it comes to careers?
I think honestly, there's so much restricted access to higher pay and higher status jobs in women's sector of choices at the moment. So it's hard to aspire high if you know that what you want to be able to reach might not be plausible at that time. So I think honestly, in the future, as you can never be sure what the future entails, I really just hope that Work for Women, they're not going to have to worry about not being able to achieve what they want to be able to achieve. Because of course that limits how far they're going to want to go. And I just want women in work to be able to go as far as they want to and beyond maybe some of their male counterparts.
You've assembled an incredible group of speakers to come into the summits, and pretty much all of them will have a story to tell, I'm sure, about how they've smashed through that glass ceiling and made the most of themselves. What have been the highlights for you in terms of some of the people you've had along to inspire the summit cohort?
I mean, we've had so many amazing speakers from so many different backgrounds come in and talk to our girls. We've had an amazing session from Angela Rayner, who is now in the Labour government, as most people know. And she was absolutely lovely, and all the girls answered so many good questions from her. We've had Olympic medalists talk to the girls about their outstanding careers. And as my dad said, even if they don't want to go on an academic route, how you can be just as successful and just as happy in a sports route or down a different career path like that. We've had the first woman to be an RAF helicopter fighter pilot as well, which was very interesting, especially since there is less women in the army at the moment who would want to go into the army and are there in general. So I think it was very interesting for the girls to hear about that. And also, it just sounds so cool as a fighter pilot as well. That was absolutely amazing. We've had 76 amazing speakers overall, and to be entirely honest, all of them have been absolutely brilliant. So I wouldn't say I've been able to pick a favourite, but they've all been individual highlights for both me and the girls.
Yeah, so what we've had is we've tried to make sure that the women that come along and speak look like the audience and the audience look like them as a moment of inspiration. And we've been running a kind of couple of almost slogans around, if I can do it, you can do it. So we've heard stories from speakers who come from difficult backgrounds, overcome lots of challenges. And we've had women who have done firsts. We had the first woman of color to be the president of the Law Society, for example, who was extraordinary. We had Zahra Mohammed, who is the first secretary general, female secretary general of the Muslim Council of Great Britain. And so we always try to find women to come along who are kind of pioneers or have done firsts or achieved something that we didn't think that they would be able to do. So we're quite careful how we curate that lineup. We have about 10 or 12 speakers at each summit. And then we're following up with research to find out which of the speakers particularly resonate with the girls as well.
Yeah, well, it's an incredible array of speakers that you've had, and as you pointed out, Grace, Angela Rayner, who's obviously hugely prominent right now, probably doesn't fit the mold in quite the same way as some previous political leaders. Probably has a slightly different accent, a slightly different background, a slightly different story, and that's clearly resonated by in the electorate. And it's really interesting to hear that I think the point you made, Paul, about ensuring that those who are speaking reflect, look, and possibly sound like the people that you've got along to benefit from them, because we all know how important that is. We did have on the Hunch podcast a little while ago James Ashton, and he's got an incredible book called Nine Types of Leaders, really good read. When he looks at the characteristics of leaders today and in the future. And I wondered if you both could tell us a little bit about what you think will be the characteristics of the leaders of the future from the kind of people that you're seeing and helping.
Moment, I know that creativity and innovation are really prominent for just the world of work and leaders in that, especially. I think definitely as tech and AI, which is so kind of foregrounded at the moment, advances, then there'll be more of an ability to be creative and harness the power of tech. And as it's increasingly developing, hopefully leaders of the future can increasingly develop in that way as well. I think patience as well is always very, very useful, especially with so much coming into their lives, so many tasks that these leaders have to undergo. We've really been teaching the girls that kind of multitasking. We've had lots of kind of physical tasks, lots of hands-on sessions with our speakers, which have really been able to advance those skills. But I would say innovation will definitely be prominent as the future progresses for the leaders of the future.
Yeah, and I think obviously this is a much used phrase, but inclusion is really important. If we have leaders from different backgrounds and different experiences, that should inspire the next round, necessarily not the next generation, the next round of leaders. I think that slogan, if I can do it, you can do it, I think it's really important. And we've seen lots of women at our summits who are in their late 20s and early 30s, who are already leading. And we were very careful as we went through the journey of the project so far to bring down the age of the speakers if we could. Not to say that everybody is in their 20s and 30s, but also if that's the next generation, they can see that it's not impossible to be the leader that they want to be. And we know that there's been a lot of conversations between the girls and some of the speakers about, can you help me get to where you've got to? I also think what's been really interesting for me as a parent is the amount of emails I've had from mums saying, if there had been a Reach Next Generation when I was 13, I would have made some very different choices. So when I hear that, it kind of supports what we're doing and impact, inspires us to carry on in.
In addition to all of the summits that you've done, you've also done, I see, 109 podcasts. So our Hunch listeners should certainly listen out or look out and download the Reach Next Generation podcast. You're much more experienced in doing this than me, by the way. So I think we've done a couple of dozen. So you guys are clearly the podcast masters. How easy is it for you to attract the caliber of person that you've had, both speaking live at summits and appearing on the podcast?
It's been refreshingly easy. We have had approaches through LinkedIn from women saying, I've heard Grace's podcast, love to be on it. We generally have more women wanting to come and speak at the summits than we've got space for, and they give up their time, to do it for free. It's on a Saturday, so it's during sort of their leisure time or their family time. So we haven't had any real challenges in attracting people to participate, support, become cheerleaders, ambassadors. And also we've had quite a lot of women say, oh, I have a friend or an ex-colleague I think would love to do the podcast. So the podcast has been very varied, from some top politicians to top business people to people in charity. We've tried to make it as wide-ranging as we can, so that those who listen can hear someone who maybe inspires them to do what they want to do. And again, as I said, in terms of getting participants at the summits, we've been, delighted with the response we get from what is just a cold email generally.
And thinking of the summits, I've seen some of the films from them again on your website. We'll put the link in the comments for this. And people really should have a look because there's a wonderful feeling in the room. There's always an ability to see just in a short 90-second video how the girls have built their confidence and progressed throughout the day. And I've also noticed, and Grace, you mentioned this earlier, around the physical activity, and there's a lot of fun going on there as well. And I've seen that you're doing everything from kind of handball to tap dancing. I mean, why is that so important?
I mean, our sessions and our speakers are very interesting, but there is a lot of sitting, and that can be good for the girls. Sometimes they could get a little bit tired throughout the day, and I think bringing in some sports, maybe at lunchtime or midway through the afternoon, helps to bring their confidence up even more and bring their energy levels up even more, which is just so lovely to see. I think as well, the addition of sports, naturally, the sports industry is quite focused on boys and men at the moment. That's quite especially in primary school and secondary school, with just the different type of sports that they offer each gender. And I think us showing the girls maybe these less talked about sports, handball and tap dancing, can really open them up to new hobbies to enjoy. I'm sure everyone listening and everyone in general has really heard the benefits of keeping fit and healthy and active, especially on your mental health, which can be greatly impacted between the ages of 11 and 15 for these girls, or if you don't know what's going on. But I'm sure it really helps. And not everyone is great at academics, like me and my dad said before. Not everyone is super good at maths and sciences, are going to become a scientist when they're older, or be an author or stuff like that. So showing them that they can go into sports like this really help with their confidence of, even if I don't do as well on these academic subjects and my GCSEs, I always have sports which I'm good at to rely on or to go forward. And these sports in general, I could really see they were so much enjoying them. Everyone from the teams that came in was so friendly. So I think it was just really fun to see these girls stay active and want to be active.
Yeah, there's a lot of sports and leisure pursuits like handball and tap dancing, which probably don't get as much coverage as the mainstream sports, where we have world champions. So we have in tap dancing, we have world champions at the age of 16 and at 15. And from the tap dancing session we did, we had a lot of emails saying, "Where's my nearest tap dancing center?" Because again, some sports physically, some of the girls don't feel comfortable, whether it's about body positivity or they're too nervous to try. But tap dancing, you can do in your clothes. You can do it, practice at home. You don't need to be out with your friends. So the tap dancing was particularly interesting. About all the girls stood up. And again, as Mark said, if you look on the video, you'll see the session. All the girls stood up and they were all following these two young girls who were world champions. And again, we're world champions in female handball, which is another sport which isn't hugely athletic, such as sort of athletics or football or rugby. But again, as Gray says, it gets you out the house, it gets you to meet new people, you join a club, you meet new friends that you don't necessarily know from school. And so what we try to do in every city we go to is to bring girls together from all parts of the city so that they can meet new friends, and break out of maybe just the small group of friends that they have. And that again has been a real success, especially when we were in Manchester. We've got some great stories from when we're at the Etihad Stadium.
Well, I had no idea we had tap dancing world champions. So there you go. There are so many things that people can try. When I think of elite tap dancing, I think of Bruce Forsyth, which is probably quite an aging reference. So it's about time that was brought up to date. And of course, we are in the midst of the Paris Olympics, and handball is absolutely huge, isn't it, in other parts of Europe. So, yeah, why not open people's eyes to all of these sports and activities that can get them up, get the blood flowing? We all, as you say, Grace, we all know the benefits of exercise on your all-round mental health, and also on your learning and your business too. If you're active, then it has a very positive knock-on effect on the work you do, either at school or for your career. So you mentioned the Etihad there, Paul. I also know you've been at the home of Britain's greatest football team at the Emirates. What other venues have you got coming up? What's next for Reach Next Gen and the summits you've got on the horizon?
So we're hoping to do a few more this year. We've had a bit of a slow start this year for lots of reasons, but it's likely that we will be at the home of the world's most famous horse racing track, Aintree, home of the Grand National. We've been looking to work with them. There's provisional discussions with the Millennium Stadium. One of the women who came to our most recent summit in London, who is an MP for London, is trying to help us do one in the House of Commons. We only do our summits in really iconic buildings. So we're never going to do this in a town hall. We want to go into buildings where the girls go, wow, and also where they feel welcome in a place that maybe they wouldn't have naturally kind of applied to or thought about going into. So there'll be hopefully at least three more this year. One of our challenges, like everyone at the moment, is funding. So you know, even though it's not a hugely expensive thing to put on, there are still some costs that we have to get covered. So that's our plan for this year, as well as at some stage, maybe it will be early next year, having the first ever Reach Next Generation Awards, where we are going to recognize girls in this age group who have done extraordinary things in their communities outside of academic achievement. And we're working with a city council at the moment to see whether they'll host that for us. And so that's kind of, I suppose, the next 3 to 6 months as we go forward. And then the other thing that Grace will tell you about is what we're planning to do with our app.
So yeah, we are planning to create an app so that we can bring together all the girls that have come to past summits as even more of a community. As everything becomes more and more online and digital, I think having an online community will be slightly tangible in a way, as we can definitely recognise each individual person who has been impacted by Reach Next Generation. They'll be able to watch past sessions from past speakers. Of course, if we went to Manchester, the girls in Middlesbrough would not have seen those sessions, but they're equally as important and had equally as much kind of interest and things to learn from. So bringing together all of this information, hopefully it will help the girls even more when thinking about post-GCSE decisions.
Yeah, and also there are small towns and villages throughout the UK that we're never going to take Reach Next Gen to, just for obviously logistic reasons. Our ambition is that every girl of this age group in the UK can access Reach Next Gen and see what we do, maybe hear a moment from one of the sessions, as Grace said, that makes them think, yeah, I can do that.
As I understand it, it's free for girls between 11 and 15 to attend. And so that's possible because you've got some really great kind of sponsors on board to help you.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we've been very, I suppose, fortunate, blessed that we've had some of the world's biggest organizations support us to date. And what we really look for from those sponsors, partners, is those that have got a huge employee base, because if they've got a huge employee base, such as Barclays, who have been with us from the start, that helps to amplify our message, because obviously they're tens of thousands of employees and millions of customers. So we're really not looking just for funding, which obviously helps, but amplification of the message. So yeah, we have been really fortunate that we're still in talks with various organizations who want to get involved in different ways and forms. And those conversations are ongoing. But as you can imagine, Mark, it's tough out there in this market. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work, a lot of young people. So we are competing for that kind of that dollar or that pound. So, as we look to the rest of this year, you know, those conversations are ongoing.
I'm sure that you're going to get additional support, but as you say, you know, it's never easy to do that. But you're not in it because it's easy. You're in it because you're making a real kind of positive difference to people. And on that, and finally, you know, what is your hunch for how the positive change that you're seeking will be achieved?
What a difficult question that. The research that we've done shows that 70% of the girls who have attended one of our summits claim it really helped them to decide what to do after their GCSEs, whether that's apprenticeship, job, college, stay at school. So my hunch is that the education system alone can't do it on its own, and it needs organisations such as ours to support the girls outside of academic work and achievement. We know we've changed some girls' view of the world, and we know we've changed some girls in terms of what they thought they were going to do once they've done their exams and what they are going to do. I also have a hunch that a new government always brings fresh impetus. Whether you support them or you don't support them, there's always a bounce. And I think that they do have, some interesting thoughts around the education sector. So as we go forward, I have a hunch that things might get better, but it might take a while to get there.
Good. Well, that's a positive note to end on. Thank you, Paul, and especially thank you to Grace. I think we've all learned a lot about Reach Next Generation, and we've all probably got thoughts of our own about how we could individually help young people we know, girls and boys also, to be the best they can be. And certainly what you're doing with Reach Next Gen is a real inspiration in that. So thank you both so much for being on the hunch. And we look forward to following your progress.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been brilliant.
Thank you for listening. Follow me, Mark Schmid, or our company, Simmons & Schmid, on LinkedIn or Twitter for news of our next episode.